Today is May 18th. Current Bitcoin price is $28,773.39. We're going to talk about the UST drop. We're going to talk about Bitcoin conference happening in El Salvador. Also, perhaps some of Michael Saylor's takes on such a thing.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
What is going on, Rick?
Oh, another day.
Another day.
Another big gap between episodes, but, you know, we're getting a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what we'll tell ourselves anyways.
Maybe we'll do another one this week. No promises, but we'll try.
And then I will be gone once again after that. So, yeah, current Bitcoin price, 28,000. I think I said 700 and something. What are your thoughts? Are we trending? We did dip all the way down to, and I think you kind of called this last time. We talked about how low will it go, and we did dip down to about 25,000, I believe.
Yeah, I saw it hit under 26. I said 25, 26. So that's pretty lucky on my part.
Yeah, no, that was pretty close. I didn't think we'd go that low. I figured 28 would be a good resistance point. And I mean, currently that's where we're sitting right now. We've lost kind of that. We had been kind of bouncing up and down around that $30,000 range, and it looks like we've kind of lost that support.
Yep. So we're back in the sub 30s, which I think long term it's going to also look like a good buy. I mean, like you said, a couple of years ago it was at 3,000. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, and that was that big dump that happened in all the asset markets when everything, you know, and that's kind of the interesting point is that Bitcoin has only existed in a quantitative easing environment. Right?
Yep.
So basically since the birth of Bitcoin, we've had this just incessant money printing. And no matter what the Federal Reserve keeps on saying, I mean, whether we're sitting at, you know, 0.75 or 1% or 1.25, whatever it's going to be, because you know they're going to raise rates again, they're still printing money. They're not taking the type of harsh actions that they need to.
If they were going to stop inflation, correct?
Yeah, if they were going to stop inflation, I mean, instantly overnight, our interest rate should be like 8 to 9%, at least
18 or 19, probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what the interest rate should be, right? But I mean, even if overnight they did that, if they cut that throat and they were like, "All right, we're going to do 8 to 9% overnight," like people would freak.
Yeah, no, if they just added an extra 1% on what they've done, I think it would collapse the economy. Definitely 2% would be game over.
Yeah, and I mean, when you still look at like Japan right now, they're still printing like crazy. I mean, America right now, like even though they're like we're cutting down on the quantitative easing. Meanwhile, how many billions have we sent over to Ukraine right now?
We've sent several packages. We're probably going to send several more, so
I mean, where's that money coming from? They're still printing. I mean, and they're still buying. It's a charade. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, they're doing this to temper inflation, but it's not really having that much of an effect. I want to say CPI still came out at like 8.5%. It was last week, I believe, that when it was reported. And so it was still higher than what they thought. I don't know. I don't know what to tell them. I mean, and you and I both know, and I think hopefully the people listening know that if CPI is coming out at 8.5, that means it's probably more like 9, which is double that, probably 18% in, you know, inflation rate.
I mean, yeah, I would say you're looking at twice the inflation rate.
So, and then, you know, and one thing that we did talk about on the last episode too, I think we said if Bitcoin went to 21,000, MicroStrategy, which is Michael Saylor's company, would get a margin call. Apparently, that is not true.
Yep.
That is not
correct. Well, according to his tweets, he said that is a bunch of baloney.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I think he kind of has to disclose that kind of information because he can't mislead his stockholders and shareholders, being the CEO of a company. And there's a new CFO in MicroStrategy, and he says, despite, you know, the downturn that we're currently having, the Bitcoin plan does not change. They're still going to hold true to that. I mean, I think the biggest reason why Michael Saylor is sticking to his guns on that whole thing is because they're not going to do what they need to do to temper the inflation rate.
No, they're trying to play both sides of the equation. They're printing money. They're trying to raise interest rates. And none of what they're doing is going to fix the issues that we're having.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there's only so many levers they can pull. You know, and I keep on saying the only reason why America hasn't completely kind of collapsed yet is because the rest of the world's doing the same thing. China's inflating their money supply. Japan is. Europe is. I mean, they're all still basically printing. It's just that. And that's the only thing that keeps everybody else kind of in the game. If they stop all at once, and, you know, and it goes back to, and we've talked about this before, it's a drug to these guys, right?
Yep. It's a heroin high.
Yeah. I mean, you see what's happening in the global asset markets, and I don't care. I mean, we can talk about Bitcoin, but I mean, when you look at gold, when you look at the, you know, the NASDAQ, the S&P, they're all taking such a hit because they're getting that withdrawal.
Well, I saw that Walmart's taken a pretty huge hit today as well.
What did they do? I haven't even seen.
I don't remember the exact numbers, but this is like the biggest drop that they've seen in quite some time. I saw a little article about it, and another retailer. I don't know if it was Target or somebody else, but I mean, Bitcoin's hurting, but so is everything else. You know?
Oh yeah.
It's a bloodbath, and my point with that is, you know, we've always called, we don't know if this is like the beginning of the end of the stock market and the bubble that's been created. But if it is, I mean, everything's going to go down. But what we projected to see is if this goes down and inflation really takes off and, you know, that whole house of cards falls apart. You know, we were kind of predicting that Bitcoin would eventually take off. The question is, are we at that moment or is it going to be a little bit further out?
Yeah. And that's the big question that's going to be on everybody's mind. Like when that turns around, is it going to be when the Fed decides, okay, well, is it going to get so bad that they're going to be like, all right, we've got to inject money into the system again. Like the junkie's not going to survive otherwise. Right.
Yep.
At that point, is Bitcoin going to be the one that skyrockets more so? I mean, because I think a lot of what's happening, and I mean, I know this is completely off base and just kind of me coming off the cusp, but I think what's happening is you've got investors, heavy investors in the market right now. And when you mess with the day traders, I mean, you always hear the euphemisms, like you try and go against you be the contrarian, right? You wanted to go against what makes sense. You want to go against and do the opposite, right? You want to go against your instincts. So the day traders, no matter what, for them, like, they're headhunters, right? They're mercenaries. They're out there to make a buck. So to them, if they can short Bitcoin, they will. And they can make money off it, they will. They don't care about the underlying asset. However, when does that change? Like, once, because, you know, and that's just when we're talking about day traders. We've talked about the number of holders of Bitcoin that are not letting go of their coins. And that continues to grow all the time. At some point, you're going to see some of the more institutionalized, bigger players that have no problem on sitting on something for a few years, right?
Yep.
When does that sentiment change? And is it going to change whenever we see those assets start to come back? Is Bitcoin going to be the one that we've, you know, and we've talked about that. Is it going to be the one that skyrockets the highest, the fastest? It's not going away, I don't think, but...
No, I don't think it's, I don't know if it's necessarily going to skyrocket the fastest, but I think in this environment with an option outside of gold, you know, generally speaking, when recessions hit, gold is always like your safe bet. Yeah. I'm not so sure that that's the case this time.
No, I agree with you. I mean, even gold is grinding down. It still has not hit its high that it had. And I want to say it was pre-COVID. Gold was actually at a higher price per ounce at that time, and it still hasn't been able to reclaim that.
Yeah, well, I think it's been about the same price for a while. I mean, it hit like 10 years ago, it hit 2100 or 2200 an ounce. And it's never touched that. Well, at least in the past 10 years, it's not come close.
And it's, and again, I think you and I both can agree on this. Like, I don't think the gold bugs are wrong. I think the gold is a sound monetary investment. However, I think it's too manipulated to actually reflect what is actually happening.
Yep. That, and it's easy for somebody to steal from you.
Mm-hmm. So confiscatable.
Yep.
I mean, you can't.
Which it has been done.
Yeah, you cannot move gold without people noticing, you know? And your papers don't mean nothing if that's all you've got is gold papers, gold back, you know, notes. Like, who cares? Like, that means nothing. You've got to have the physical property. So speaking of kind of the central bankers and what's going on and possible investors, El Salvador recently held a conference where they had 44 central bankers from developing countries all meet in El Salvador to discuss Bitcoin, the Lightning Network. And I mean, when you think about it, when you think of El Salvador and you think about so many of these other countries, and it happened especially now because we've had two countries now. We have El Salvador and the South African Republic, right? That have now adopted Bitcoin as a standard currency, basically. The payment rails, again, and we've talked about this on the podcast, are already built into place. As long as you have cellular data, you know, or cellular networking within your country, and you've got these developing countries that don't have people that are actually on the banking system, which is crazy for me to think of, and I can't even fathom it, but that's just because I was born in a relatively wealthy Western society.
Yeah.
When you have people that have no idea like how a bank works or how that, you know, they can trade, you know, they can buy stuff on Alibaba, you know, whatever the case may be, they can do that through their phone where they weren't able to do that before. And they can do it with Bitcoin where they don't even have to have, they don't have to meet requirements of whatever the financial institution says. Well, you have to have this much of blah, blah, blah. You have to have all these documents showing that you are who you are. All they got to do is have a phone, download an app, boom, they can go.
Well, and some of these countries don't even know what it's like to have a stable currency.
Exactly. I mean, everything that they've done, they've always been pegged off the dollar, right? The dollar.
Yep, they've probably been exchanging the dollar. There's no banks. Who knows where they're hiding it in their mud huts? I mean, not to typecast them too much, but you know, they definitely have a different situation. And this is just downright revolutionary.
No, it is, and I mean, and. You know, I don't expect these countries to instantly flip over on these, but I guess they had the likes of Ghana, they had people from Jordan to the Maldives, Pakistan to Costa Rica, all in El Salvador to go through this conference with them. And I think a lot of people were really impressed with, and these are central bankers, by the way. I mean, and think about that, right? These are the heads of the central banks of these developing countries. And yeah. I mean, when you think about that and you're like, well, you're a central banker and what you want to do is establish banking systems within your country. This is showing them how they can do it instantly. Little to no cost. I mean, get them phones, you know, and a lot of people, and that's the thing, like people are like, well, cell phones are not that common. It's like, actually, cell phones are pretty common.
They're pretty much ubiquitous now, everywhere.
They've gotten so inexpensive, and Bitcoin doesn't need a lot of tech to run, which is the beautiful thing about it. You know, and I heard a podcast not too long ago where they were asking someone, you know, well, what happens if there's thermonuclear war, right? Like, well, dude, if there's thermonuclear war, we've got a lot of other things to worry about. But, and I think it was Michael Saylor's, actually, you were talking about it on that one that you sent to me. He's like, it'll go dormant. But as long as one computer has the blockchain, whenever things start to spool back up, it's just going to pick up like right where it left off.
Absolutely.
It doesn't go away.
Well, if there's thermonuclear war, what is your dollars going to do for you?
Be toilet paper. It's all the same. I mean, we've got much bigger fish to fry if that's the case, right?
Absolutely.
Like, survival becomes a problem. Like, I mean, not just, you know, well, your gold's not worth anything. Okay, fine. I mean, it doesn't matter anyways. If I had gold, unless I had the biggest guns possible, somebody's going to take it from me. But it's just, I mean, it's him planting that seeds. And I give props to Nayib Bukele for keeping up with his Bitcoin go. I don't know. And how long are they going to be central bankers if they get on the Bitcoin standard? I don't know. Curious about that. We also had something else that was big that happened. And I think this is a big reason why. I think when you combine everything that's going on in the world, and then you have the stablecoin, which was UST, right?
Yep.
It's supposed to be a stablecoin like Tether, which Tether is, I think, is USD, not UST. It lost its peg to the dollar. So for those of you that don't understand what stablecoins are, basically what it is say you're on Coinbase. I'm going to use Coinbase. Coinbase doesn't support UST, but if you're on Coinbase and you see that Bitcoin's about to drop, or you have a feeling Bitcoin's about to drop, you want to keep your money held on the exchange so that we can basically, you're taking your fuel for the fire and you're pulling it off to the side for a little bit. You can cash it into a UST or a stable coin, basically. And it holds a dollar value. Like, it doesn't drop, it doesn't gain, it's a dollar. Then when you feel like, all right, the market's about to ramp back up, you take that, whatever you put into that US, that stable coin, basically, and you shift it back into your crypto of your choice. And then, of course, you're supposed to see the rise from that, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea of a stable coin. And it allows people like in developing countries to trade the dollar without having to actually hold the dollar. Which is also a pretty powerful thing when you think about that, too. Because, I mean, these other countries still would love to have dollars, regardless of how we may or may not feel about the dollar. These other countries still, in a way, like the dollar because they see it as this great thing. So that's what the point of a stablecoin is. And we had Luna, basically, the Luna Foundation. They had pledged originally that they were going to use Bitcoin to back their stablecoin, at least a majority of it. And I think they had 80,000 Bitcoin that they purchased for this. And, I mean, this was, they'd been doing a few purchases and they were talking about how, I mean, they were just, the Do Kwon is the I don't know if it's the CEO of this company or whatever it was, but 80,000, what is that? Times, we'll just say, because around the time it was probably close to the $38,000 mark. $3 billion worth of Bitcoin.
Wow.
That they had on hand. I mean, and UST alone, I think, was a $50 billion market cap for the coin. And they lost it.
Yeah, it just completely vanished into thin air.
Yeah, I mean, it's the current peg right now, the UST, which is supposed to hold, you know, basically $1. I mean, you see every once in a while Tether, like if you watch Tether, Tether sometimes will dip to like 97 cents, then it'll correct itself back up. You know, there's a lot of mechanisms that have to go on in the background to keep your stable coin stable. But UST basically completely lost it. I think it's currently sitting at around 0.0001 of a penny. Like, I mean, so if you think about that, if you were one of those people that were like, man, Bitcoin's dropping, I'm going to put it into UST. I'm going to transfer my Bitcoin out, wait for the bottom, and then I'm going to buy back in.
Yep. I'm going to put something safer.
Yep. They got wiped out.
Wow.
I mean, I don't even know what does that do? Like, if you had $9 million, right?
You're going to multiply it by 0.00001 or whatever it is.
You had $9 million to turn it into 900 bucks. Overnight.
Wow.
And I mean, yeah, so when you look at that, and this is going to be great fuel for the fire for people that hate crypto anyways, right?
Absolutely.
Because again, they're going to lump Bitcoin into that same camp.
Well, Bitcoin is generally down. So, you know, if anybody knows that you're into crypto, they're basically rubbing in the salt right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's for sure. I mean, and it's still such a new space. I don't know. I really don't know how else to put it other than that. It's it's only been around for what, like 13 years, Bitcoin has. So, I mean, there's still growing pains to go through for sure. And it's stuff like this. I mean, and maybe this is part of the purification that has to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate to kind of put it that way because, I mean, that kind of sounds ideological or ethereal or magical or whatever. But it's like the phoenix, right?
Solve it. Well, it's the trial by fire.
Yeah.
It's the trial by fire. And that's the thing. I mean, we can think that it's going to do so much, but it has to be tested over and over before it's validated and accepted that it is what we say it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you can't, that's the other thing that I think people forget. There is a huge bounty on Bitcoin's head, right? And every day that it goes, that it survives and it's not attacked, it's not hacked. I mean, it's constantly attacked. Let me correct that right. It's constantly attacked. But the times, all this time that it hasn't been hacked or anything else, it continues to just trudge along. It doesn't give a damn. It's just going to keep on doing what it's meant to do, regardless of what happens to exterior influences. Because I think another interesting thing that just happened is the hash rate just hit a new all-time high this last week.
Yep. I saw something about Chinese miners are back in the game, even though it's against the law.
Really?
Yep.
Do you think that's state-funded?
I have no idea. I mean, China is such a basket case right now, nothing surprises me. I mean, they still have Shanghai on lockdown. So,
nuts.
Who knows?
It is insane, sir.
Or maybe they just don't have the power to enforce their laws right now.
Well, and that's possible, too. Well, you know, and I always go back to, it seems like the whole thing with UST, I mean, because right now I want to say that is a stable coin that came out of Asia. I really feel, and this could be my tinfoil hat. You know, I'm going to take it out of the roll. I'm going to mold it up and put it on my head. I wonder if this is a coordinated attack to deface stable coins, anything other than what's going to come from your government. I mean, because how potent is that lesson? You're like, oh, yeah, stable coins? You trust those ones that aren't controlled by the government? That guy had $9 million, turned it into 900 bucks overnight.
Gosh, that's got to hurt.
Dude, I would flip. Because, I mean, the stable coin is supposed to be just that. It's supposed to be this thing that's just supposed to keep you safe, right?
Keep you pegged.
Yeah, it's supposed to remove you from the volatility that's taking place in the market. It's supposed to be a place for you to go back and cool your heels, relax a little bit from all the tension that happens in the market from day to day. And then something like that happens. It's not going to recover. I don't care. I don't care what they do. They're talking about starting off with like branching a new coin, doing all kinds of crazy things. I wouldn't trust it.
Yep.
I just lost.
Well, that's the whole deal. That's the trial by fire. But if you don't pass, it's dead. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's not coming back.
Yeah. And I mean, I see people that are like, I'm buying it. Why are you buying it? Don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I mean, people really think it's going to rebound or something like that. And I think it was kind of interesting as all that stuff was kind of falling down. Michael Saylor posted a tweet and he said, you know, on May 14th, he said, there is no second best. That doesn't exist in the crypto market.
Yeah.
And, which is unfortunate. I mean, there's a lot of coins out there, and I don't want to say that none of them have a use case. There's a good possibility that they do, but a lot of them are finding issues for problems that people don't realize that they have, if that makes sense.
Yep. No, I agree with you. The thing is like Ethereum for a while. Like, I mean, when we saw that run up in Bitcoin in early 2021,
mm-hmm.
the run-up that happened on Ethereum was even higher. It was steeper.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. The percentage of gains. I mean, but think about, I mean, so, and yes, that there's a lot of money that was going into there, right? But, I mean, to get Bitcoin to move from 30,000 to 69,000 takes a hell of a lot more money than what it takes to get from Ethereum to go from $700 to $3,000. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, that the amount of money that has got to get pumped into that machine to make it happen is huge. So, I mean, Ethereum, and I, don't get me wrong, I like Ethereum. I do. And a lot of the stuff that can be built on top of it. I personally am a bigger fan of ADA than Ether, because ADA, I think, is kind of like the, if Bitcoin's, you know, a coin 1.0 or cryptography 1.0, crypto 1.0, Ether was 2.0. ADA, I think, is like a 3.0. However, right now, all they do is what Bitcoin does. I mean, there's other things that are being developed on top of Ethereum with NFTs and those types of things. But they haven't been able to release anything that is actually like earth shattering. I don't know.
No, I hear you. And, you know, my point about the Ethereum run is, you know, in some windows, it's looked like it's been the second best performing cryptocurrency. But in a lot of respects, just because it's the second best doesn't mean it's going to stay there. And at the end of the day, you know, Michael Saylor said, usually there's the winner takes all when it comes to the market. So that's why he's 100% Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's so, and yeah, and I get it, right? And I have Ether. Don't get me wrong. I have Ether. I'm just, I get these points, especially when I see stuff like this, where I'm like, man, maybe I do just need to be a Bitcoin maximalist and get rid of all the trash. And I'm not saying it's all trash. I do think that there are some developments of stuff. I love the idea of smart contracts, but man, you are going to upheave a whole lot of other businesses, and God willing, do it. I mean, that's what this whole market's about, is disruption, right?
Yep.
It's just, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, the answer is whatever's built to handle whatever situations we need. Yep. That's what's probably going to take off.
Yep.
And right now, it looks like Bitcoin's really the place where it's at.
Well, and then it goes back to, Michael Saylor was bringing this up too, and I hate to just, like, I'm sitting on his lap the whole time. But, you know, he was talking about how everything else is a security. And he's right. Because it is all controlled by, like, there's a central organization that controls all these other coins.
Yep.
Bitcoin's the one that there isn't.
Completely decentralized.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that people still cannot wrap their head around. They're like, what do you mean? Like, no, there's no single one copy of this damn thing working. It's ingenious in how it operates. I don't know. Anyways. So when do you think the market's going to recover? What do you see?
You know, I guessed pretty good last time. I thought we were going to keep going down. Looking at the trend, it looks like we're generally going to keep going down. I'm just worried about if it does touch, you know, I mean, it kind of touched 25, but if it goes much, if I think it hits 24, it could lose quite a bit still from there. So we'll see.
At what point, like say you had, I mean, just, and I'm not saying you do or you don't, but say you had $1 million just sitting there, right? At what point do you back up the truck and you're like, oh man, I'm buying at that level?
Honestly, if you had $1 million, I mean, I'd put it in now. And I would also get the coins off of any Coinbase or whatever you want to say, any markets. Because that's the one thing. We just saw Luna get killed. I mean, and maybe that was a coordinated attack. Maybe they're going to try and attack another one of these, your marketplace, your exchange. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, personal responsibility on the coins. And, you know, and I go back and forth on this. Like, I get it, right? I think if you're dyed in the wool and you're a true believer, I think you should do self-custody. However, I think there's a lot of people out there that do not want to have anything to do with that. That's a lot of responsibility, and people don't like responsibility. Which is probably why we're in the boat that we're in, right? I don't know. That's my thought. You still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah. Anyways, you got anything else you want to add?
I think I've kicked this dead horse enough today.
Well, I think I have to. Thank you guys for listening. Hopefully we can do another episode here pretty soon. Peace out.